The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In a world that is not fair, in a world where we wonder why bad things happen to good people, if you're living in dire or oppressed circumstances, then Luke's gospel offers for you a particular hope. And today, we have Luke's blessings and woes in contrast to Matthew's sermon on the Mount, in which the latter, I feel, is more popular in our context. Probably with Matthew's Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, we can simply spiritualize them. We can make them me and Jesus statements and then be on our way. But with Luke's blessings and woes, we get a glimpse of God's justice. And it's very earthy. It's dealing with injustice right here and right now. And we find ourselves on the wrong side of it, well then woe to you, woe to me. And who among us wants to think about that? Who among us wants to be on the woe side of things? It might be why Luke's blessings and woes aren't as popular in our context. Yet I believe there's something about these blessings and woes that don't just level out the world in terms of equity, equality, and justice. I think that's another reason why it's not as popular in our context, because it is about Jesus is making a statement about equity, equality, and justice. But it also offers a word that liberates each and every one of us, regardless of which side we find ourselves on, because it gives us a hope for the future, for God's future. Did you ever see the movie Mr. Holland's Opus? The movie starts in the fall of 1964. 30-year-old Glenn Holland is a musician and a composer from Portland, Oregon. He takes a position as a music teacher at John F. Kennedy High School so he can spend more time with his wife and work on his symphony. The movie follows Mr. Holland throughout his 30 years in American society, throughout it. Now, at what point in the film, there's a student, Lewis Russ. This student has a great work ethic. He doesn't have the gifts to be a great student. Coach Meister, who's Lou's football and wrestling coach, reaches out to Mr. Holland, see if he can help him get his grades up by getting like a music credit. Coach Meister knew that Lewis struggled academically, but was not dumb. And as Mr. Holland works with Lewis, he's not sure if he can help very much. But Coach Meister insists. He insists that Lewis is not abandoned, that they don't give up on him. And what transpires is that Mr. Holland and Lewis bond over drum lessons, and Lewis then realizes that if he can do this with drums, he can do anything in life. So in someone's poverty, there were others that noticed it, and they ministered to that poverty and brought them up on a level playing field. Later in the movie, Mr. Holland has a student, Stadler, who contrasts with Lewis Russ. He's brilliant, but he's lazy. He's obnoxious. Mr. Holland, getting angry at him after one class, says, "This class is called music appreciation. As far as I can tell, you don't appreciate anything." And so Mr. Holland's disciplining him and giving him an extra assignment and says it's not extra credit. If you don't do it, you fail. And as he's giving him this assignment, he gets a note from a student. And then he tells Mr. Stadler, "Meet me here Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And Stadler says, "For what?" He says, "For research." Stadler finds himself that Saturday morning at a gravesite service and asks Mr. Holland, "Who is it that died?" To which Mr. Holland says, "Some kid I taught to bang a drum." What we realize now is that Lewis died in the Vietnam War. And he tells Stadler his name was Lewis Russ. He made the state wrestling finals 3 years running. He was never as smart as you, Stadler. He had to work real hard even to graduate, stating that maybe that's why graduating meant so much to him. And then following that graveside service with military honors, Mr. Holland tells Stadler, "You can go home now." He says to Stadler, "Woe to you," and brings him who thinks he's high on the mountain, and levels him down, brings him down into a place where he needs to be. We even see in that moment the Russ family weeping and experiencing consolation that's happening in their midst. And the Lewis Russ story arc in the movie, I believe, offers that blessed are you who are poor as an example. They get the resources, he gets the resources that he needs to be pulled up. Because Lewis not only is seen, but he excels. Even though his life is cut tragically short, he was able to be seen fully for who he is and was, for the gifts and blessing that he embodied, those God-given gifts that he had. Stadler receives the woe to you lesson from Mr. Holland. So, Jesus saying woe to you is not meant to be a buzzkill. It's to give us perspective of what the kingdom of God is about. When we go back to Mary's Magnificat, we have a vision in Luke's gospel of that leveling out in the world. The hungry will be fed with good things. The rich will be sent away empty. At the beginning of our gospel lesson, Luke lays it out in this narrative. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place. That's intentional imagery there. That Jesus comes to stand in solidarity with a broken humanity. And as the body of Christ, we need to hear, "Woe to you," from Jesus. And we need to take those woe to you statements seriously, because it's so easy to pay lip service to those who are powerless in our world. Sometimes our ministry can be superficial. The poor can be kept at a distance. We might take care of chronic needs, but our investment in them will keep them as an abstract person or an abstract family. We can even name them by their need. The person that needs this, the family that needs that. Not knowing their names, not knowing their gifts, not investing in them, like Mr. Holland and Coach Meister, that pulls up the Lewises in the world. The charities we support can also pay lip service, keeping people at a distance. And that need to keep people at a distance rather than reflecting our need to give. So some of these words of woe convict us in our direct and indirect involvement in trying to prevent the leveling out of this world for God's kingdom to be brought forth. President Eisenhower said, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every missile fired represents a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, from those who are naked and are not clothed." The perspective that the woes should offer us is that we can't escape it in our broken world. And when we think we are full and rich and have all that power and all that we need, we must be humbled in knowing that that power is limited. And it's not really the power we think we have. Because in our gospel lesson, we hear where the power comes from. The power came out of Jesus. The power came out of Jesus, which is why we should take those woe statements seriously. We may be high on the mountain in life right now, but nothing lasts forever if you're on that. How many of us have been knocked off our high horse from time to time? I have been humbled many times in my life. Woe to you, Adam, over and over and over again. And when we fall short, where injustice exists in the world, that's when we find hope in the cross. Because the cross redeems us and the entire world. The leveling out is the reality that the cross, that through the cross we receive reconciliation with the living God. This doesn't lift us up, but keeps us on level with our God. Think about when we gather for worship. Are we not humbled when we confess our sins and how we've fallen short time and time again? And what happens when we confess our sin? We hear that word of forgiveness. We are low, and God lifts us up and brings us on level with Him. And when we receive the true body and blood of Christ, we're reminded how Christ humbled Himself and came down to us, and in this meal comes down to us and says, "This is for you." God coming down, heaven on earth, being on our level. And perhaps in the Lutheran sinner and saint paradigm, we might be able to see that there's a Lewis and a Stadler in each and every one of us. And as God desires for the leveling of this world, that it would be on earth as it is in heaven, that we would pray that in our poverty that we experience, that God would send people to serve as instruments of His grace to pull us up, and that we would receive that blessing. And when we believe that we have our fill and neglect the needs of others in this world, that the Stadler in us would be woken up and humbled with the word of woe and be brought back down to earth, so to speak, on the level with others. Because as the body of Christ, if we are Christ in the world, we're called to descend, to meet people where they're at, on their level, to minister to their needs and to lift them up. The blessings and woes give us a perspective that in meeting people where they're at, that we can see that God has blessed them, created them in their image and likeness, and that reconciled to the cross of Christ, that when we engage the world through God's eye for justice, we know that good news also, that each and every one of us are blessed to be a blessing. Thanks be to God. Amen.